I am feeling a tremendous amount of joy and very grateful today to have the opportunity to be in this space visiting with Molly Razanen. Molly, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for finding me and inviting me on, sending me that email. This is my favorite way to connect with people, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to start out, if I could. I have had an opportunity to read some about you, but at the same time, I don't want to assume that I really know anything. So what I'd like to do is maybe take kind of looking at the big picture to begin with, or the long view. If I could ask you what your inner spiritual journey, or whatever you might call it, as well as your transition from emergency medicine to the doing the work of energy healing, what all that means to you at a deeper level.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got my start in my career as an emergency room nurse. I was in the Western medical field for about 7 years, first couple years as a CNA, as I was in nursing school and preparing to become an RN. And then I dove right into emergency medicine. I was an ER nurse for 4.5 years, all through the pandemic. I was actually a travel ER nurse. And I knew pretty early on, probably within like a year of my career, that it didn't feel like a great fit. I was having a lot of emotional struggles, mental struggles, wasn't really hanging with the whole night shift thing. That was really difficult on me. And I had this inner knowing for a really long time that I was meant to help people heal, but I had actually chosen to go into the field of medicine and become an RN for the stability of the job, honestly. Like, I knew that I had the heart to help people heal, but I was really afraid to go after anything that I felt was truly for me. I was really getting into it to make sure that I would always have a paycheck and never have to worry about it. And within that first year of working in the ER, I was having massive panic attacks. I was trying to find any and every way to get out of having to go to work. And I just continued to stick it out for, like I said, 4.5 years. About 2 years in, I decided to transition into travel nursing, which made things a little bit more easeful because I'd take long stretches off between contracts, was making a ton more money. But then, of course, as it happens, the pandemic came, and that was like a real punch in the gut for what I already knew, that I wasn't in the place that I was meant to be, that I wasn't helping people heal to the depth that my soul and my spirit was really asking me to, and that there was like something missing from Western medicine. And I always love to incorporate the reality that I am not a naysayer of medicine. I think that science is beautiful, and the development of what we have been able to create and contribute to the world on a medical basis is so powerful. And knowing what I know now, it's like it's gotten a little out of control. It's completely disoriented the human from their own body and from their spirit and from this innate capacity that we do have to heal ourselves from the inside out. So my healing journey started really for me to combat those feelings of anxiety that were coming from this misalignment within my life. I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, depression, symptoms of PTSD. And I found solace on a yoga mat. Like, that was what started it for me. The one place that I found that I actually found moments of peace and ease where my mind wasn't screaming at me was on a yoga mat. And I had no idea why, but because I was finding that peace there, I kept showing up. And to keep a long story really short, I got inspired by one teacher who just had this beautiful way of weaving the philosophy of the spiritual and energetic components of yoga into her yoga teachings while she would teach us in practice. And that sparked for me to go and study deeper to become a yoga teacher myself. And within about a year, I became 200 hour and then 500 hour trained. I got a Reiki certification. I was sitting with master healers and master plants, and just like, I always say, following these little breadcrumbs of like, for whatever reason, I just know that I'm meant to be here, and I know I'm meant to do this thing, and I know I'm supposed to experience this on some level. And the deeper I went within my own journey, the less I was feeling the anxiety, the more I began to understand the nervous system and my emotions and the conscious and subconscious mind. And it was just like a blasting open of my consciousness, but also like the finding of the thing that I felt like I was meant to do in this world. Previously, to that point, I felt like I was somebody who didn't have passion. I didn't have passion. I wasn't creative. Like I just, like I said, I chose my job so that I'd always have a paycheck and I'd always be stable, but I didn't know what it was that I was actually meant to do in this world until my own kind of suffering led me into this place where I entered this space of being so in like captured by what else was out there beyond just the physical and what I had been taught and what I had known all this time up until then, and the ways in which my studying and my following of those breadcrumbs was actually causing this deep level of effect on my own mental and emotional well-being.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really deeply honor your willingness to share that. I'm curious, in terms of connection with spirit, if this was something that was and I heard you, it sounded like this was, a lot of this was very new for you, but I was curious just in your previous year or before this, prior to this, even in your childhood, I'm not sure how far back, that I'm speaking of here, if there was any preconceived notions about spirit or, just anything as you grew up into your formative years
Yeah,
that,
no.
any awareness of that?
So I always I used to like wish, right, that I had one of those stories where I was like, when I was a kid, I was so psychic and attuned and talked to spirits and all the things. I didn't have any of that that I know of that I
Yeah.
remember as a child, but I was always very deeply emotional. My parents used to say that like they would joke around that they could look at me the wrong way and I would start crying. And now I know from the development of my spiritual gifts and my channel that it was actually because I was so open to feeling everybody's emotions around me that if anybody was harboring any like sadness or anger, or even if my parents were like in a silent argument in a different room, I could feel that within my own body. And my only way to express that was through tears because I didn't understand it. And then coupled with, I was raised Roman Catholic. My parents both came from very, very Irish Catholic backgrounds. They went to Catholic school and were raised in the church. But I always love this little piece. My parents are both the eighth child in their family. And I feel like by the time it got to them, like the strictness with which that was being passed down, like lightened and lightened and lightened so much so that my parents, although I was raised Catholic and we went to church and I went to religion and did the whole thing, they were both very open to once I had gotten my confirmation, just like you do with this what you choose. And personally for me, I just like never felt a great affinity within the church. If anything, I feel like I was raised in a time where like a lot of some of the more negative, darkness, power-driven aspects of what was lying behind the church was really coming to light. And I saw that and I felt that, and I didn't resonate with some of the more like hateful beliefs that I was witnessing within the church. So I wasn't raised super, super religious, but that was the most of a spiritual background that I had, and I kind of just distanced myself from it and had no nothing to do with any of it until this awakening happened in my later 20s.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm wondering too, I'm hoping that I can convey this question clearly. It would be very interesting to hear anything you might share, in terms of what, if any, surprises of what if you found out some things about yourself in terms of you being more connected at a higher level of consciousness than you were even previously aware of. If that's making any sense, it would be very interesting just to hear what, if any, surprises there were for you as you continued on this path of discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like through that yogic journey, like I said, I started following breadcrumbs. I went and first was super, super activated. One of the main things that I like help and guide people through now is the wisdom and knowledge and embodiment of the chakra system. And I felt like that gave like a really beautiful blueprint of not just the physical body, but the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual body, and how these things are all like interconnected. And I started working with that system to self-heal. And through that, again, I feel like I began to notice my intuition coming more online, where I've just had like a really solid discerning and like, yes, this is for you. No, that's not for you. And as I started following those yeses, those like heart-led and intuitive-led yeses, I was guided to healers and experiences and medicine spaces that ended up opening my psychic channel pretty wide, like about a year and I'll say a year and a half ago. I went and sat with ayahuasca in Costa Rica with the Shipibo tradition, and one thing that came out of that experience for me was this deep opening of my psychic and intuitive channel that I now know was something that was always there, but was just kind of like suppressed or drowned out by constantly feeling like I needed to seek acceptance and validation from outside of myself. So, yeah, over the past 4 years, it's been a continuous unfolding journey, but over about the past year and a half, I've tapped in and tuned into some abilities that I previously had no idea were there, and that when it first happened were actually like kind of scary and frightening and took a great deal of practice and acceptance and trust in myself to allow myself to really develop that to a place that it was something that was no longer scary but useful in my own life and that I could also use to help others in their path as well.
That's beautiful. And I wanted to also ask you just in terms of your own conceptions of your own identity. If you could speak to that in any way, in terms of was there some letting go of some notions about who you were as you discovered who you weren't, or, and I don't know necessarily if that's the right way to characterize that those discoveries, but it would be very interesting to hear anything you might share just as far as what you learned about yourself as
Yeah.
this journey continued.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I work really, really closely with is the emotional realm. Like that's something that I've found a great affinity for, which matches up a lot, right, with my childhood and having this sense of like really heightened emotional states. And something that was kind of a shedding or a letting go of my identity was a lot. I woke up to the reality that a lot of the choices I had made in my life up until the point of my awakening were based out of fear, out of trying to keep myself safe instead of the truth of what it was that I actually wanted or what I actually wanted to say or standing up for myself or setting boundaries. So there was this kind of shedding away of this identity that was created to make sure that everybody outside of me was comfortable and that they liked me and that they wouldn't judge me. Kind of witnessing within myself the identity I had built was based on the back of just wanting to be loved and not necessarily a love for myself, but a love that I needed to come from externally. So there was a lot of a peeling away of the layers of the ways that I would speak, act, and operate that were based out of this really beautiful desire, right, to have love and to be safe and to be part of the pack, but that were kind of keeping me from ever touching down on the truth of who I was and the acceptance of who I am now from myself first. And what I have found through that experience in this gentle, I won't know, it wasn't always gentle, right? But in this shedding away process is finding deeper levels of connection within my life from people who actually matched the frequency of who it is that I am at my core, as opposed to who it was that I was unconsciously portraying myself as so that I could receive love.
And I've often wondered. I heard one of my teachers from many years ago spoke of, as we are born and we go through our childhood and our formative years, that there is this unspoken sort of what he referred to as a conspiracy of consciousness. In other words, it's not that, parents, if they just didn't know or weren't tuned into this, it just seemed like it made the most sense rationally to help children kind of develop their identities. And there was this conspiracy of consciousness. I love thinking about this because it's kind of like, if in other words, if I tell you that I believe that you are who you think you are, then I ask you to do the same for me. So there's kind of this give and take that children learn as they are growing up and then go out in the world, with whatever identity they have. I don't know if that resonates or not, or if that
Yeah,
makes sense.
it resonates beautifully and speaks specifically to, I don't know how much you know or have studied or have worked within the chakra system, but the way in which the chakras develop, right? Like the root chakra, it starts in utero, so it starts in that connection to mom, but then what you're speaking to right now is the development of the sacral and the solar plexus chakra, which is your emotional state of being, and then your self-identity, and how much mom, dad, home life, and what they believe to be an acceptable identity or truth or set of beliefs creates around the child's ability to self-identify versus identify with what they believe is right or wrong or good or bad taught to them based on their external environment. So I've never heard that term before, the conspiracy of consciousness, but it makes sense that
Yeah.
we attune to what it is that we're told is acceptable or not acceptable, or is real or not real, or is right or is wrong. And I love thinking of when I teach on that, the development of that level of the chakra system, I always attribute it to how many kids walk around with imaginary friends, right? Or they have this wild imagination that's made up, right? But
Yeah.
it
Oh,
is
yeah.
that they're actually attuned to those other frequencies and realms and levels of consciousness that allow them to have this really wild and creative imagination. And if that isn't honed and harnessed, and if anything, it's taught that, like, no, that's not real, you're not really seeing that, you're not really feeling that, then that in and of itself during the development of those chakra phases, like, shuts that down within the child.
Yeah, absolutely. And there again, when I say conspiracy of consciousness, not that it's any sort of evil conspiracy, but it's really at the end of the day, I've spoken with thousands of people over the years, just, in terms of, different gatherings and meeting people that are on, on whatever path they're on. And I find that's almost the majority of those have spoken to the fact that they were raised, in an environment where there maybe was a little bit of connection with spirit, maybe no connection with it at all. And so I find that at the end of the day, it's and then I also heard people talk about, like forgiveness work. In other words, our parents, not that every situation's the same, but they did the best they could with, what they had been taught, and they
Yeah.
went through this whole process of participating in this as well, because that's just the, quote unquote, the way it is. So if I grow up with someone telling me how it is, and then I just basically pick that up and run with that, because that's all I know, so to speak.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And then when you bring that forward, right? Like, this is just the way it is because it's all I've ever known. When somebody challenges that through a spiritual awakening, right? It
Yeah.
is difficult for any human ego to begin to expand their own consciousness to the possibility of, like, maybe that isn't just the way it is. Maybe it's the way it's been for me because that's what I was taught to believe. And now that's what I've created out into my reality via that belief system. But I think it can be difficult. And I do a lot of work with people around that forgiveness work with their parents because, and I've even had these conversations with my own parents as I'm getting more and more open to expressing the fullness of who I am and who I've become throughout this awakening experience and how that continues to unfold. Obviously, my parents have questions about it. And the deepest thing I'll find sometimes within specifically my mom is this just like, I'm sorry I didn't know. And I'm like, you don't have to apologize. Like, there's nothing for you to
Yeah.
apologize for, right? Like, and if anything, thank you for whatever it is, whatever way in which you did raise me that gave me the freedom to choose to go on this path, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, I really love how you bring that in, that like forgiveness process of everybody is always only doing the best they can with what they have been taught is true. And this massive awakening of consciousness that's happening right now, like specifically, I feel like through my generation and even more so in the generations underneath me, it's like such a beautiful ripple effect that is taking place that can be really jarring between people and their parents if it is so different from what it is that they were originally taught to believe to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, you just any thoughts that you might have. It seems like it would be amazing. I know it's probably easy to say it. I don't know how, in actual practice, how possible it would be. I've heard the phrase before, a conscious parenting and conscious education. The only, and I realize there may be groups out there or communities that actually raise children in a more conscious way, or maybe regarding their educational experience. I'm not necessarily aware of a lot of these. The only one that I know that's on more of a larger scale is like the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which is more of an international group. And I've actually watched some documentaries about how amazing it is to see children 5 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, that have this emotional intelligence and this connection with higher consciousness. And I just marvel at that because it's just that's what they're learning from the beginning, and wondering what the potential is for kids as they become adults if they already have that connection.
It gives me chills to even think about, and like my prayer, while it's so beautiful for me to be able to experience the ripple effect that my own healing and the expansion of my consciousness has been able to make on my work in the world and the people that I get to connect with. It's like my hope and prayer is that this ripple just continues and continues and continues. And I don't know if it's something that I'll see necessarily in my lifetime, but I have every intention of, just like you said, like raising my children with this level of consciousness and this connection to spirit and nature from a very young age. And I even have a little bit of a theory and a belief that some of these babies, these spirit babies, are like refusing to come down until their parents have like done the work to hold, to be able to offer them that clean, clear consciousness
Yes.
so
Oh
that they
my
don't have to
goodness.
go through the same level of work that we have all had to do in order to access this natural state of being.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that. I absolutely do. I was going to also ask you to hear a little bit about what it's been like for you in terms you mentioned some about your family and conversations with your mother. But I'm wondering, what has this been like for you as you have had this awakening, as you have continued to evolve, as your consciousness has changed, what this has been like in terms of, in what your, feedback that you've gotten from your family, if and how this has changed your relationship with them, with friends, people that you're really close with, just anything you might speak to in terms of how that's, how that has been. As a result of your initial and ongoing evolution.
I would say that for the most part, I've been really lucky in most people being really open to witnessing the ways in which I've changed. And the people who are closest to me in my life and love me so deeply, I think, are at the very least recognizing the grave difference from where I was for the few years before I went down the self-healing path, to at least the level of like lightness and joy and passion and connection that they can witness, even if they don't deeply understand the path that I'm on. And yeah, a lot of the fear of judgment was kind of an internal thing of like, oh my God, I know that I've changed so much. And like, how am I going to be able to relate the same to the people who I grew up with, or to my parents, or to my family? And thankfully, specifically, I feel like my relationship with my mom has gotten even closer because she's been really open to listening to my experiences and the ways it's changing me, and witnessing within herself how, like, maybe these things could have helped her at the same time frame if she were to have access to them when she was my age, right? But again, it's just this kind of like, I didn't know what I didn't know. And then, I mean, for privacy purposes, I won't name names, but like, I have had people within my life that have completely thought that I've gone off my rocker and joined a cult, and like
Yes, I can identify.
And that it's something that is shameful or wrong, or that have even tried to kind of convince me that I'm gonna like have some massive awakening one day where I realize that like what I'm doing is not real, or that it's wrong. And for me, less than like the emotions that I feel towards that person, like it was sadness for a long time until it evolved into acceptance. And now it really helped me realize, I mean, I believe that everything happens for a reason, and that everything that's placed in front of us inside of our relationships are a lesson that we need to learn through. And it was a big catalyst in me being able to let go of needing that external validation and being able to validate myself in the truth of the experience that I was having in my own mind and body, while also reconciling with the reality that there are going to be people in my life who aren't choosing to sit in hours of meditation a day and do breath work and go on plant medicine journeys. And of course, they're not going to have, and it's not to say like one is better or worse, but they're not going to have the conscious, perceivable experiences that I've had to be able to relate and understand. So there have been waves of grieving And waves of also trying to see if I was wrong and I was crazy and like trying to prove myself
Yes.
wrong, honestly, in certain regards.
Yeah, that's yeah,
But
that's
I've
great.
spoken to a lot of people about that being kind of a norm within the experience, right? And it's only led me to deeper levels of knowing, loving, and trusting myself. So honestly, even the relationships that did become rocky or difficult, I'm grateful for those moments because it brought me into a deeper relationship with myself, even if it distanced the relationship with some other people.
Yeah, it is it is amazing that how this journey just the ramifications, the opportunities to learn and to discover who we are and who we aren't as we continue to see the effects of this on our relationships,
Yeah.
with people who are close to us as well as with the world. Also wanted to ask you just as far as the process of beginning as far as hearing about your recognition when you determined that you wanted to actually work with people with energy healing, and just to get a little bit of a sense of what that was like for you. I don't know if there was an aha moment or if this was more of a process that you went through, and just getting some idea of what this
Yeah.
was like to get started and what that felt like for you.
Yeah. It is a never-ending journey, a
Yeah.
forever unfolding. But for me, a big piece of my catalyst into this work was knowing that I wasn't in a line of work that I wanted to spend the rest of my life in. I mean, I was 4.5 years into a career I expected to have for 50, 60 years is the like time frame of that we hold on to our careers within within the United States, right? And within
Oh,
Western
yeah.
culture. And when I decided to go on to my first yoga teacher training, that was more to deepen just into my own healing and a deeper understanding of the philosophies and the energetics. And I really fell in love there. Like I had such a massive wave of feeling, such a level of peace and joy. And it was in that experience. And it was an immersive, like retreat style experience where I was just there for 24 hours a day for 12 days, immersed into this teaching and learning and practicing. And it was on that experience that for the first time in a really long time, I felt such a state of joy and peace and acceptance and knowing, right? I had a full knowing that, like, somehow, some way, this is what I'm meant to do in the world. And it started out as just teaching yoga at studios and in parks and online. And as my own journey continued to develop, I had opportunities to. There is an ability to change a nursing license into a holistic nurse coaching license. So I was able to go down that route and learn a lot about actually the science of coaching and the science of helping people through transformational processes. And like I said, it was just kind of following these breadcrumbs. But after that first yoga teacher training, I remember I went for the first time. I didn't even really understand what energy medicine or Reiki was. And I went and laid with a Reiki healer for the first time. And as I was walking out of the shop, I was like, oh, I don't know like what that really did. It was relaxing, it was cool, but like I don't really understand it yet, right? As I was walking out of that shop, the healer, he stopped me and he was like, there's something very heavy on your heart. Do you want to tell me what it is? And I was like, I went to school for so long to become a nurse and this is what I do, but I'm really unhappy in it. And now I went through this experience of becoming a yoga teacher and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he just put his hand on my shoulder and he said, nurse or teacher, you are a healer. And that's just like stuck in my head forever. This, like, it doesn't really matter which way you choose, but like you have the spirit and the soul of a healer. And that's just been my guiding light through everything that I've done is using my own healing journey, embodying the tools and the modalities so that I'm speaking from a place of wisdom and not just knowledge. And yeah, allowing it to unfold as it's meant to. And like I said, after, some different experiences with healers and shamans and plant medicine experiences, it was kind of like spirit revealed to me, like you have access to these gifts if you desire to develop them. And then it's really just been a deep surrender and acceptance of the reality of the experiences that I'm having, both with myself and my clients, as I'm walking them through their own spiritual development and mental emotional healing, and the ways in which energy medicine acts like this really beautiful alternative additional modality to helping people alongside the coaching and the mentorship aspect. So I guess, long story short, to answer your question, is it was like always this little internal knowing, but it's a continuous unfolding and listening at every step of my journey of like, okay, what direction am I supposed to take now?
Yeah, and I get a sense too that this has been the healing, and there again, this may be overly simplistic, but I get the sense that your healing has and is occurring, is continuing to occur as you are helping facilitate the healing of others. I don't know if that sounds overly simplistic, but.
No, it's absolutely right. Like I spoke to in the beginning of the podcast, this passion I felt for, like, it's not like, okay, this is just helping me feel better. I tell everybody, like, I'm the biggest nerd for this stuff. Like, I am constantly reading energy healing books and studying the chakra system and then taking what I'm learning and implementing it in my own life, witnessing the transformation I'm having, and then just offering it out. I mean, on social media, on my podcasts, and then in the bigger kind of containers and mentorship spaces that I am holding other people through. And I have found, at least at this point in my journey, that some of my deepest healing moments come from the connections that I'm making with my clients. That so often there are things that they'll come to me with and they're moving through something really difficult. And then all of a sudden I bring through some piece of wisdom that I'm like, one, where did that come from? And two, that was for me too. Like they're just a reflection of another level and layer of what it is that I'm learning to shed and let go of.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I once heard a spiritual teacher that I studied with that said that ultimately the teacher that doesn't really consider themselves a teacher, and I don't know if that would apply to healers as well, that on some level we're all, like you said, we're all learning together. We're all listening together to our own true north, so to speak, if that makes sense. And
Yeah, I see
yeah.
very often, and I resonate very deeply with these little pieces on social media that say, like, a healer isn't somebody who heals you. It's somebody who reminds you the capacity you have to heal yourself. Like, I'm a healer because I've healed myself. And now I just have this level of experience and wisdom that I get to offer out. And I feel like on an energetic level, it resonates with the people it's meant to resonate with, because it sparks something inside of them that allows them to remember that they also have within them this capacity to transform and change their lives from the inside out if their life is not what they want to be experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as we're kind of coming more towards the conclusion, I was going to ask you, and you may have spoke, I feel like you have spoken about this some, but I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Just anything that you might share as far as any formative lessons learned in terms of, working with clients, kind of, looking more at that or focusing on that. In other words, you helping facilitate healing for others, if there's been any, lessons that have really been a surprise for you, or some of the most important lessons that you've learned along the way, if you haven't spoken of all those already.
Yeah, I would say the most important lesson, and this would be speaking to anybody who maybe also feels or knows somewhere in their heart or their soul that their healing journey is also moving them towards facilitating and helping to guide others, is that your work, like the basis of your work, is that healing work that you're doing on yourself. So the hours that you're spending in study and devotion and meditation and contemplation and nourishing your own body and your own heart and mind and soul, it's like that is probably more than 50% of the work. And that's something that came through really early for me, was this continuous knowing of like the healing I'm doing is, yes, helping other people heal, but I have to maintain a consistency and a devotion to this in order to have the capacity to hold others. Because something I feel like I see kind of frequently is people having these awakening experiences and then immediately wanting to help other people as opposed to really taking the time. And I get it. It comes from such a loving place of like, wow, I feel this thing and like everybody needs to know about this, right? But the level of devotion to your own energy and your own frequency and your own consciousness is just as important a piece of the puzzle as anything that you are able to actively give back to somebody else.
Yeah, thank you so very much. I really do. I deeply honor that. And I, at this point, I don't know that I have any other specific questions. These just kind of come up as we've continued down this path. I wanted to give you some time and space if there's anything that I have overlooked asking or forgot to ask or should ask, anything that you might want to share. I just wanted to really give you that time to do that.
I guess let's just see if there's anything that wants to come through. What is starting to come through? And the first words that I heard are just listen. So, meaning like for anybody who is listening to the podcast, that is on a spiritual journey, you're beginning to have some kind of awakening process, is that it can be really scary in the beginning to hear all of these, like, oh, your whole world's going to crumble and everything's going to turn inside out. And just allowing yourself the space to slow down enough to begin listening to the thoughts that are running in your mind, listening to the feelings that are coming up in your body, and like really slowing down to a space where you can come into, I call it, right relationship with your nervous system and your body and your mind, instead of just continuously acting from those habitual spaces of the thoughts and the feelings that are coming up that, for the most part, we're trying to get away from, right? We're trying to suppress or numb or shy away. That there is a very real, tangible, scientific reality to the need we have in our society right now for humans to take the rebellious act against that collective consciousness, to be able to slow down, to find that safety within your body, to slow down enough to listen to your heart and to your mind and to your spirit. And that what it's saying to you is not always going to be the most logical and linear and straightforward what you thought it was going to be path. And I can only speak from my own experience that anytime I have ever allowed myself to follow that voice over the temper tantrum of my ego, it has led to a beautiful awakening and a beautiful lesson that I now know I needed to learn in order to like make it to the next level of the life game. I feel like it is sometimes, right? And it's not to say that all of these efforts in spirituality are so that we can receive more. I don't mean necessarily receiving more in the terms of bigger business or bigger money or bigger life, although I am witnessing and feeling that like that kind of happens alongside that when you just kind of let yourself let go of the wheel, even if you're just like trying it out, like I'm gonna let go for an hour today and like let spirit take the wheel and see where it guides me and where I end up. And then slowly over time, you realize that like you don't even really need the wheel, and how much ease and beauty comes from being able to trust that you are always being guided along your highest path and your highest timeline. And like, yes, it takes some work and devotion to get yourself to that place of faith where you can allow yourself to do that, but that it's really such a beautiful and worthwhile journey to allow yourself to have.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that. And what's coming through to me just very strongly is, I mean, I love how you talked about just even if it's for an hour, just surrendering for an hour, that it really is a practice. I'm so glad you said that because that reminded me that I think sometimes as humans, we tend to, it's an all or nothing proposition, right? If I'm going to surrender, I'm just going to surrender now and it's just going to continue. But it really is a practice and it really does take some time. I mean, I don't know how long it takes. I mean, I know we're all different, but just being open, even if we're willing to practice, and then it kind of unfolds as it does.
I was just having this conversation earlier today about the amount of times on my awakening path, whether it be in a breath work or an embodiment session or a session with a healer or a plant medicine journey, where I get this big realization, right? A download about something where I'm like, wow, that was so simple. And like now I know this massive amount of information, right? And the reality of the practice it takes to actually allow your body to feel safe enough to live
Yeah.
by that information. Like it's one thing to receive it and understand it on a mind level, but it's the devotion to practice that will eventually allow you to live that wisdom instead of just know that knowledge. And yeah, I always teach everybody, like, take it at a pace that feels good for you. Let yourself have an hour a day and just watch where that naturally evolves into. I mean, I get people all the time that I'm teaching to meditate and they're like, nope, I'm just bad at this. It's not for me. It's not my thing. I'm like, it's not like playing baseball. Like, it's like something that everybody has. And like, I mean, even playing baseball, right? It takes practice
Oh,
and
yeah.
trusting in the thing. I always love to anchor back down into is the beauty that science is beginning to catch up with all of this knowledge. And we have the science of neuroplasticity that literally speaks that we have the power and the capacity to change the way in which our mind perceives and understands and consciously relates to reality. But the way that neuroplasticity works is by repetition and practicing a new way of being over and over and over again. And there's a quote that I heard probably about a year ago that says, your nervous system will choose an unconscious and known hell over a unknown heaven, right? Because your mind
Yeah.
and your body wants to habitually just choose the thing that it knows because that's what it feels safest in, but it doesn't even know the capacity of the limitless reality that lies beyond what it knows if you don't give it that space to practice and acclimate to the potential.
Yeah, thank you so very much. I really do. I deeply honor that. And I was going to what I wanted to mention to you too. I definitely want to make it as easy as possible for people to connect with you so I can get with you after we stop the recording and get as far as any your bio, website, any social media addresses that you want to share. And I'm glad that you mentioned your podcast. I just wanted to, as we're closing, if there's anything that you want to share with people, I'd love to. Anything you might want to share about your podcast and what you've been doing in that space.
Yeah, beautiful. So, hard to nail down a title in this realm, right? But currently,
Yeah.
in this rendition of self, I am going by energy healer and spiritual development mentor. And I
Yeah.
host a podcast called It's All Happening, where sometimes it's just me on there talking about my story and my process and utilizing my healing modalities to help others heal. And I also invite other people who are on the awakening path in with their own medicine. So that is a beautiful place to tune in. That's across all streaming platforms. It's called It's All
Yeah.
Happening. And then aside from that, I do most of my work through email and Instagram. And we'll get together after this, but it's at Molly Raznin on Instagram. And through there, you'll see. I mean, I always have different stuff going on. I'm working on doing a lot of in-person sound and energy healing events right now. I
Yeah.
offer sessions and packages of sessions and mentorship packages. And currently, what I'm most excited about, actually, something that is coming out on March 19th, it is an experience that's called Awaken Within, and it is taking my passion and my study and my experience through healing through the chakra system and turning it into a 7-part series that is both part private podcast, where each podcast will actually teach you the in-depth science, like mental, physical, spiritual knowledge of that chakra and how to begin implementing that into your life for internal transformation, as well
Yeah.
as 7 live guided energy and sound healing experiences that are anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes long that pertain to each one of those chakras to really help activate and initiate and invite you into doing work within that space. And alongside each of those seven guided workbooks of practices and prompts and ways that you can really begin working with those energies on a mind, body, and spirit level. So that'll be coming out to my audience on the spring equinox, the energetic new year
Yeah.
on March 19th. And then that'll be something that just lives in my library that I have to offer to people who, wherever it is that you're at on your journey, if you are looking for kind of a blueprint and some guidance and some ways to go deeper into these energetic concepts on, like I said, a mind, body, spirit level. That'll be available for purchase really soon.
Very good, very good. Now I really appreciate this, and of course, if you would like to share with me your, after when you send that stuff to me, if you can send, if there's like a master link or the best link for people to find the podcast as well, I'd certainly love to share that with people also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely,
Yeah, thank you so
yeah.
much
It's
for
been
having me.
yeah, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thanks again so much.
Yeah, you as well.